Because if God can't be free here, he's not going to be free out there. So let him be free in here and feel what the freedom of God is like. Because whom the Son sets free
is
free indeed. Amen, amen. Hey, take your Bibles this morning. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to John chapter 14. We are in the second week of our series, the I Am's. I love that song, The Great I Am. I'm glad we did that one this morning. That was kind of an afterthought this morning for our worship, but it sure felt right. It felt good to do that song, and certainly we're going to talk about The Great I Am. John 14, verse 1 through verse 6 is our text this morning. I am. Last week we talked about Jesus says, I am the door. He's the door to the sheep. He's the door for us. He's the way. He's the way to the Father, and we're going to talk about him being the way this morning and the truth. But let's begin. Stand with me, if you would, as we read the Word of God together. John chapter 14, verse 1 through verse 6. And I love this portion of Scripture because Jesus really wants to tweak our hearts this morning and tell them how much we have to be able to trust him and how trustworthy he is. Let your heart not be troubled, he says. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And let's read this next verse together, shall we? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the promise that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, I thank you today that you're the one, the only one. That you sent Jesus. You said in Isaiah, there is no God before you, there'll be no God after you, and you are the only God. And Father, you sent Jesus to die for us. He was your only son, so that he could be the way, the truth, and the life for us. Father, may you bless this message. I surrender this time to you and to your Holy Spirit to work mightily in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. For today's message, we're not going to be talking a lot about the life. We're going to talk about the way and the truth. But we're going to save the life for the week that we talk about Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Okay? Just so you know, I'm not going to miss it by accident. I'm missing it on purpose. Because on Resurrection Sunday, on April 12th, we're going to talk about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. Amen. One amen, two yes. He is the resurrection and life. Amen. Okay. I hope you're a lot more excited that Sunday. Because that's a day to celebrate. Today we're going to talk about him being the way and the truth. We're going to spend the majority of our time maybe on the truth today. But let's talk about Jesus being the way. It's a quality about Jesus that is unlike any other person and any other being ever created, ever brought to this place we call earth. Jesus was brought here to be the way for us. He was brought here to be our way to the Father. If we go back to our text this morning, Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way. Not one of many ways. I'm one of your options. No, Jesus said, I'm your only option. I'm the way. The way. The only way. And he said that because God intended for Jesus to be the one, to be the pathway, the avenue, the door, the access to the Father. And in John 1:18, it says this, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Jesus came to declare the Father to us that we might know who the Father is. You see, we aren't illegitimate children. We are bought with a price. We are our masters, our fathers, and Jesus is the way and the declaration to the Father. When I was born, I was given a name. I was given a name, and some people are given different names. Mine is very plain. And so for my whole life, these 57 years, I've been known as Alan Ray Jones. And that's just the way it's going to be. It's going to be that way forever until the day I die. And it's okay to have a name that's ordinary. But Jesus gives us a name with the Heavenly Father that is special. He gives us a place. And he declares the relationship of the Father with us. It'd be terrible if I didn't know who my Father was. But Jesus came to declare the Father to me and said, I am the way of the declaration to the Father. And you know, we look at Jesus in the Word of God, and I would have loved to have been there when Jesus was on earth. I would have loved to walk with him. I would love to have been one of the disciples. And you know, I would have been would love to see the miracles. Love to hear his teaching. But the Bible tells me that I am blessed and I am special, and so are you, because having not seen, you have believed. You know, the people in Israel saw Jesus. John said, it's the one we've touched, the one we've handled. I never got a chance to do that, but I still believe Jesus is real. And the Bible calls us blessed because many people who saw Jesus and saw the works that he did, saw the many things that our Savior did on the earth, failed to follow him and were offended by him. But I read about Jesus in the Bible, and I read about the miracles that he did and about the way he affected lives and changed them forever. And I am awe-inspired, and I am inexpressibly joyful of what Jesus did for me. And the Bible calls us blessed. One of the disciples, Philip, talked with Jesus because he didn't know what the Father looked like. He said, you know, I see you, but I don't see the Father. And I want to talk about that, just those three verses there in John, or two verses in John 14, just after our text this morning in verses 8 and 9. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You see, we all want to see God. Don't look any further than Jesus Christ. Don't look to your church. Don't look to the way that you think you see him. Don't look at the paintings in the church or the paintings on the back wall, but look to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the Father. And when we see Jesus in the Word, we have seen the Father. I shared this in Bible study, I think this last Wednesday night. There's a great movie called Avatar. How many of you have seen Avatar? Okay, really great CG movie. But there's a line in there that the Avatarians, for lack of a better word, use about relationship, and they see to each other, they say to each other, I see you. I see you. Maybe some of you are familiar with that line. But it means something more than I'm just looking at you. It means that I see you on the inside, that I know who you are. And the words they use is, I see you. Let me ask you this question this morning. It's our first challenge for the day. When you look at Jesus, do you see the Father? You have to. That's the only glimpse of the Father you're going to get. God declared through Jesus himself to mankind. And when we look at Jesus, we see the Father. We just don't look at him. We see his nature. We see his love for us. We see his compassion, his mercy, his greatness. We see his holiness, his virtues of righteousness. And we see the Father because Jesus declares him to us. So guess what? When you see a word written in red that Jesus speaks to the people, he speaks them to declare the Father to them. And he does so for us today. Don't look any further than Jesus Christ. You can't bypass Jesus and get to God. There is no way. It's like a bridge to an island, and the only way to get there is to go across the bridge. And God is this entity, this thing that we cannot reach. But Jesus was come to earth, and he became the bridge, the advocate for us, so that we could travel to the Father, and we could see him, that we could know him. Don't look any further than Jesus. I think I've shared this story before. I've shared with many people about knowing God, and people say, well, I know God, I know that he exists, and he never talks to me. I had one man that told me that. He said, God never talks to me. I said, have you ever gone through Jesus? Who's Jesus? Oh, well, let's back the train up a little bit here, because if you're going to get to the Father, if you're going to get to what God wants for you, you got to know who Jesus is first. The Ethiopian eunuch was in his chariot, and he was reading through Isaiah, and he wanted to know who God was, he wanted to know what God had for him, and he didn't know who Jesus was. So this same Philip ran out in the wilderness because God told him to, and he saw the chariot, and he ran up to it, and they stopped the chariot, and this guy was sitting down, and he was reading about this lamb that was slain, the sacrifice, and he asked Philip, who is this man talking about? Himself or somebody else? So as they began to go on the chariot together, Philip began to expound to him the fact that in order to understand who God is, you need to know who Jesus is. What Jesus accomplished on earth, what he did, and that's the only way to get to the Father. What was the end result? The eunuch stopped the chariot and said, hey, there's water there, why can't I be baptized? Well, I guess you can. If you believe with all your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, he made that very clear to the Ethiopian eunuch. For us today, there are so many things that want to confuse the issue. They want to make more of it than it really is. And it's really, really simple. You know, salvation is a very simple and profound plan. Man makes it complicated. Man says you got to do all these rituals. Man says you got to do all these traditions. You got to observe all these things. And God said all you got to do is believe. And I'll tell you, it's the greatest deception that man has ever witnessed and ever observes is a tradition of religion. Jesus doesn't call us into religion. He calls us into relationship. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's what Jesus wants for us. So Jesus is the way to the Father. There's no other way to get there. Acts chapter 4, Peter says this, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I told you before, my name is ordinary. You can't get saved by declaring my name. You can't even get to heaven and say, well, Pastor Al said this in church. God's going to say, what about Pastor Al? He's got his own issues. Do you know my son? Do you know my son? Do you know who Jesus is? And all we have to say is, yes, the Lord Jesus died for me and for my sin. Because he has been given the name above every name. I love the worship that, I don't know if you're recalling the songs we just did in worship, but they're just lining up today. And I didn't realize it when I did the message, but there's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. It accomplishes so much for us. And it declares not only the Father to us, but it provides the way of salvation for us. It also provides the only way to healing. How many of you need a touch from God? I'm not just talking physical healing either. I'm talking spiritual healing, emotional healing, mental healing, financial healing in your maybe marriage, relationship healing. Raise your hand if you got something that you need God just to show up and be mighty to heal. He's the only way. Jesus is the only way. In 1 Peter 2:24 it says this, who himself, capital H, notice that there, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. We are healed. That word are is a perfect verb. It means for all eternity. There's no beginning, no ending of that word. It's a perfect verb. Are. Existent today. Do you need healing? Ask God. Do you need healing in your marriage? Ask God. Through Jesus Christ. He is your way to healing. We often think that Jesus is limited to our physical touch. But Jesus is meant to give us life and life more abundantly. That's what John 10:10 says. I have come that they might have life and have more abundantly. It's not just physical. There's so many other things we have issues with in life that Jesus says, if you just come to me, I'll help you heal from these things. Some people have a whole history in their life that they like to escape from. They like to forget that it happened. Childhood maybe wasn't good for them. Maybe their family environment wasn't good for them. Maybe they were bullied in school. Maybe they had other things that happened in their younger years. They said, just assume, just forget about those things. Jesus says, we're not going to forget about them, but I want you to heal past them. Be healed. Be healed. True healing is remembering those things, but not having any pain attached to those things. And you know what? The world can't give that. There's no amount of prescription drugs. There's no amount of activities, no amount of possessions that we can have on this earth. Nothing you can buy will ever buy that type of healing. It only comes through Jesus Christ. Let's talk about the second quality of Jesus this morning. He is the truth. Some time ago, our men's group did the Truth Project. Some of you men were probably part of that. And one of the things that came up over and over and over again is the fact that the truth isn't about us. Thank you. It's not about us. The truth has never been about us. It's always been about God. And when Jesus came, he came to declare that truth. In John chapter 18, Jesus said this in front of Pilate. Therefore he said unto him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you rightly say that I am king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into this world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Now you might think that odd, because we always think of Jesus as our Savior. He came to forgive sin, and he certainly did do that. That Jesus came to heal, and he certainly did do that. That Jesus came to cast out demons, and he came to do that. He came to invest in mankind and show God's love. He came to do that. But the ultimate goal of Jesus was to declare the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth of Jesus wasn't based upon him. It was based upon the Father. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice, is the way that verse ends. If you have the truth in you, you will hear the voice of Jesus speaking to you. But the other side of the coin is if you don't have the truth living in you, you will not hear the voice of Jesus. Truth is based on something bigger than us that we hang as a standard in our life, and we look at it as a litmus test, as a standard, as the plumb line for us in our lives today. And you know, here's the deal. I can't begin to guess how you were raised. I can't begin to guess how you were brought into the truth of who Jesus is, but I'll tell you something, that our truth is based on two things. What we've seen and experienced, and what we've been taught. Right? The truth that we live with today, whether good or bad, right or wrong, is based upon two things: what we've seen and experienced and what we've been taught. I know that chair will hold me up. Why? Because I have seen that it holds people up, and I've experienced it myself. I know that my car runs on gasoline because I've been taught by my dad that you have to put gasoline in your car to make it run. That's the truth. But if I talked to my dad, he'd say, there's no other car but Chevy. So if you're not driving a Chevy, you haven't arrived yet. Ask him about his Grand Marquis and about his Cadillac and about the other myriad of cars he had in his life. But today he would say, I'm driving a Chevy. If you're not driving a Chevy, you haven't arrived yet. That's his truth. And I could absorb that truth. I could say, you know what? My dad always taught me Chevy was the best. Maybe you're out here and your dad always said Ford is the best. Chrysler, nothing like Chrysler. Toyota, they make a great product. Nissan, they're okay. DeSoto or Tucker. But see, you're laughing, and I'm glad we're laughing this morning because it's hilarious. People get so bound up on their truth, they forget who Jesus is. How do we know that? The Pharisees were standing right next to Jesus and didn't know he was the Messiah. Why? Because of their truth. Their traditions, their their rituals, their lifestyle, none of it lined up with who Jesus was. And they couldn't even see the very Messiah as they argued with him about the law. Have you ever done that, reading the Word, and it's like, these Pharisees are so stupid? You know, they should have had V8 back then, because there had been a lot of V8 moments back in the Bible. Right? Because these Pharisees were so stupid, they were so wrapped up in their own truth, they could not see Jesus. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you believe that Jesus can only be in one church or one denomination, it can only be in one faith, you have missed the point of the Messiah. Jesus came to save all. He came to save everybody. Not just the Assemblies of God. Not just the Baptists, the Catholics, the Lutherans, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Foursquare, Holiness Movement. Go on and on and on. The Anabaptists, the Greek Orthodox, who think they have the right way. Why? Because they've never fallen from what they knew in the Old Testament in the early church age. They're wrong. They are wrong. Anybody that thinks they've got the inside skinny on Jesus Christ and that they're part of the only inner circle is wrong. That's what made the Pharisees so wrong, is that Jesus is bigger than my denomination. Amen. And he's bigger than my truth. And it's just like God to knock me down once in a while and say, you thought you believed this the right way. I'm going to teach you otherwise. Let's go out to the woodshed and I'll teach you a little bit about the truth. I'm really glad we didn't have a woodshed. We had a couple sheds, but none of them had wood in it, really. Of course, that never stopped Dad from taking matters in his own hands right in the house. But you know what Jesus does? He takes us to that secret place. We know where we're going with him. Just like if our parents had a special place to punish us when we're getting that, we start that journey down there, we know where we're going. I remember when I was a young man here, we had a family that was in our church, and this little child was acting up, and it would just not be quiet. And so they were leaving the church out the side door, and the child knew what was coming, and they said, "Pray for me!" Because they knew, this, I don't know, boy or girl, knew what was coming. And, you know, that parent wasn't shy about it. They went right outside the church, out where the windows were open, and they spanked the living daylights out of that child, and that child was crying. She came back probably sniffling, sat very quietly for the rest of the service. I say that story to say this. When you hear the voice of Jesus, and you know the truth, you know the times he's taking you to the woodshed. And he's going to learn you. He's going to learn you good. And you better take it. It's got to be about Jesus' truth. He came to be the truth for us. And I'll tell you something. If you're not living the truth according to Jesus Christ, you're not living at all for Jesus. Jesus is bigger than what you know. He better be. He's God Almighty. Jesus always based his truth on the Father. We talked a little bit before about how he declared the Father to us by being the way to the Father. And he declared the truth to us about the Father because the Father's truth was the most important thing. I love the scripture about when Jesus went into the temple and he overthrew the money changers. Every gospel has that in there. And one interesting thing I think about when Jesus is doing that is this. Him cleaning the temple was never about him. Did you know that? It was not about Jesus. It wasn't even about Jesus' truth. It was about the truth of the Father. He says, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Who is my? God the Father, not Jesus. My house. You see, Jesus, when he declared the truth of the Father, he got angry sometimes because men were blaspheming the truth of the Father. We were talking in our Wednesday night Bible study. For those that were there on Wednesday night, we talked about being angry and not sinning. Weren't we? Remember that conversation? There's a time for us to be angry, but it better not be based on your own truth. It better be based on the truth of the Word of God. What does the Father say? What does He say? What's the truth according to the Father? Jesus always stood for that. John 1:17 says this, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And in John 8:40 it says this, "But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God." Abraham did not do this. Jesus declares Himself, "I heard this truth. I heard it from my Father." Take note. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you know, He says that in the Gospels a multitude of times, and He says it in the book of Revelation. And the last time that we hear Jesus addressing the churches, in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, He ends each phrase or each church with this, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Spirit of who? The Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of who God is. As Jesus says, "I came to declare the truth because I heard it from God. Therefore, if you have ears to hear, then hear the Word of God." The one thing about denying sometimes our own truth, our own traditions, the way we were brought up, and accepting the truth of who Jesus is and what we know is right in our heart. See, that's the thing, is that sometimes we know the truth and we don't want to do it. We want to cut corners with God. And we think God is compassionate, He's merciful, He'll understand. If I can't do exactly what He wants me to do, He'll understand that. And, oh, we're good, God and I. No, God says there is a standard that has been set, and you better abide by that standard. That is the truth of what I put in place. But when we abide by the truth of who Jesus is and we don't cut corners with Him, Jesus offers us something in His truth that nobody else can. And I want to read about it with you today. It's found in John 8:31. "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" Kind of weird that Jesus says, "Whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And now He declares in John chapter 8 that the truth sets you free. The truth of what? The truth of who Jesus is, the truth of who God is, the truth of what God did accomplish through Jesus Christ and His love for us through Jesus Christ. The truth of who God is, and as we see God, as we know God, as we accept His truth, it sets us free. Amen. Guess what? I've got a car that I make payments on. And that's the truth. But knowing the truth doesn't set me free from making the payments. I'm still in bondage. If you're making payments on stuff today, I don't care what kind of truth is, and you're still in bondage to something. God wants us to be free. And the only way that we're going to be free is if the truth makes us free. Does that mean I shouldn't have a car loan? Well, that's up between me and God, I guess. God allowed me to have it, so I've got it right now. I'll soon be paying it off, though. That's going to be a good feeling when that's done. But in spite of that, Jesus says, "Can you be free in Me?" There may be bondages that we have in this world, things that we're obligated to, things that we are committed to, things that we have no choice of doing, but we can be free in Jesus if we allow Him to be free for in us and through us. You may have to work on Sundays once in a while. I did when I was younger. And it was an obligation, I was committed to do it, but I was free in Jesus to do that. Why? Because Jesus understood my obligations. There may be things that you are obligated to do on this earth. It doesn't mean it's not God's best for you, but He understands that. But He says, where I want your freedom to be isn't in the things you have. It isn't in the life you live here. It isn't in the things you possess or the people you know. I want your freedom to be based on Me. And a very familiar portion of Scripture from Matthew chapter 6 says this, if we seek first the kingdom of God, if we seek first His kingdom, if we let the truth of what the kingdom of God is be sought first in our life, then all these other things will be added to us. And we forget sometimes. We forget. We get so bound and so worried. And I'll tell you that there's a real fear, and I'll address it in the message this morning. Fear over this virus, the COVID-19. And you know what? I get angry because it's not the truth. It's not the truth. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus said, I will watch every place you go. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'm going to be with you every day. Now, it doesn't mean that things won't happen to me, but one thing I do know is that no matter where I go, no matter what I do, if I'm living for Jesus, his words abide in me and I abide in him, I can go wherever I want. Jesus goes with me. And that's not the truth that they're portraying in the news, in the media. We have to relent to certain things, but I'll tell you something. I'm glad you're here this morning. I'm glad you're in the house of God this morning, but what you're declaring in your life is there's a bigger truth than what's out there. Amen. It's the truth I live for today. It's Jesus Christ. So just be encouraged today that Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that a great promise? Yes. And no matter what day we live, no matter what's happening around us, Jesus says, I'm there. Don't worry, I'm there. Right. You know, the third epistle of John has the word of truth in it. 5 times in 8 verses. And in that portion of Scripture, John the Beloved, he's the one that laid on Jesus' chest at supper. He's the one that asked, who is it, Lord, that's going to betray you? He was the one that was considered the closest to Jesus. And he was the one that stayed at the cross as they crucified Jesus with the ladies that were there. He was the most beloved disciple. He was the one that lived the longest. He suffered 2 martyrdoms. He suffered a boiling in oil and then finally a beheading. That's what history tells us, that he didn't die the old man that we think he did. He was actually martyred later on in life. That's what most believe. But because John was the beloved, he realized one thing, that the truth of who he was and who Jesus was wasn't based upon what he knew. It's based upon him. And he uses the word truth 5 times in 8 verses. And I just want to read one verse in conclusion today of my message this morning. In verse number 4 of 3 John chapter 1, it says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. John was an old man. He had raised up people in many churches. And he was writing to one church. He said, I have great joy when I see my children, my spiritual children, walking in truth. And you know what agonizes me more as a pastor is people who know the truth and don't walk it. It agonizes me. It doesn't make me angry. I'm sad for them. You know why? Because from behind this pulpit, I try and preach the truth of what the Word of God says. Because the truth is so important. I get one opportunity a week to speak to you and to declare to you the truth of who God is. And when I see people that willingly walk away from what the truth is, it's hard and it hurts. Life could be so much better if we just forsake all and accept the truth. In my life, I remember accepting the truth sometimes meant punishment, but sometimes it meant praise. Sometimes accepting the truth meant that I withstood my own insecurities and my own fears of punishment to declare what was true. Happened in the workplace a number of times. Declaring the truth didn't set my boss at odds against me. It unified my boss, saying, thank you for telling me the truth, even if I made the mistake. The truth today, Jesus being the truth. We wouldn't have had time to go through and being through the life anyway because there's just so much in this about the truth. And today, that is the one message I want you to take home with you today, is there is a truth greater than you. It is found in Jesus Christ. And if you don't abide in that truth, you're not living for him. Bottom line. You know what it's going to make you do? It's going to make you give up yourself. Take up his cross and follow him. Amen? Amen. So let's bow. Father, I thank you for this message. You are